praise
Lord, talk radio.
Got some hairs up there coming in. Praise God.
Hey, Sid. Hi. Sid, can you hear me, Sid? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. I'll wait for Dorothy to get back.
I have to say.
He was
going to
start to pray, and I didn't know if he was
going to
start.
Oh, no, I was going to pray, and they can join in. Father, we thank you for everybody here. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Pray for those that are still on their way. You give them traveling mercies, and we pray that you lead and guide in our discussion of your word and for a better understanding of your word and a better understanding of you. And I pray, Father, for the services to follow. I pray, Lord, that you be lifted and glorified and that meet the needs of those that will be there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll try and finish up that handout that I gave you, I think it was last week. We'll finish up on those. And I printed out another handout, and it's just as bad as getting out of your car with the seatbelt on. Did it at the house after I printed it out. So, so I'll give that out. Let's see. I'll bring it next week. Okay. We were halfway through this thing, and one thing I'd like to say is that, you know, a lot of these things that are here have been going on for a long time. You know, it's not unusual. I shouldn't say it's not unusual. I mean, it's not exactly God's will. It's not godly. But the world has been turning, and things have been going on with a lot of these things active and predominant at some times in our history. There's one, let's start with Matthew 24:38. I think it's number 7. Disregard for the sacredness of marriage relation. Matthew 24:38. We'll go there. Somebody got that? Yes, ma'am. Would you read it?
For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
So what's unusual about that? Marrying and giving in marriage. Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about marriage before we started. A lot of people that, you know, that have lost a loved one due to death get remarried. Is that unusual? Or people that are lonely for a long time, they're divorced or something like that, they get remarried, you know? And but I think the emphasis here, now y'all give me some insight, is that they're married and given in marriage. Like today is we see a lot of people not getting married, and then we see a lot of married couples or people being unfaithful in their marriage. And so I think that has something to do with it. And they look and say, well, the grass is greener. And so they're married, and they're given in marriage. I knew this guy who was married. left his wife and got engaged to another woman and was still married to his wife. You know, it's kind of nuts. Insane. And so but that's not unusual, unfortunately. And so I think that's what it means. It's a lot of people that are unhappy in their marriage, so they have no respect for their marriage vows, and the world goes right along with it. And we're seeing that a lot now. A lot of people. Yeah, good question. Right. What kind of vows? I don't know. Genesis?
Genesis.
Yeah. The man would leave his wife, leave family and cleave to his wife. Yeah, that said, Christian marriages or weddings usually have the vows. As far as what I've seen on TV, a lot of different cultures don't have, of course, they don't have the same marriage ceremony or wedding ceremony that we have. They've got some weird ones. Marco Polo, I read his book. He ran across some civilizations that were very unusual in Asia, China. And so, yeah, I think a Christian wedding. So, and Jesus is taking all of this in. I mean, he's including all of this in. So, you know, a lot of these things are just, and Jesus is, I think, making the point, is that things are going to be just normal, you know, as far as the world is concerned, as far as, governments are going to be having struggles and other governments are going to be collapsing. And so it's just going to be as usual, but there's a less and less, as we can see in our culture, less and less of God being involved in people's lives. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, that this world will keep turning and Satan will keep on making sure that things will work without acknowledging God in people's lives. And so that's my understanding. That's what I think. I don't know. Let's see number eight, rejection of the inspired word of God. There was no word of God back then. There was no written word of God in Noah's day. I'm not saying there wasn't nothing written, but there was nothing, there was no inspired word of God or rejection of God's word. Now, so where was the word of God being heard from, or where was the word of God? How were people rejecting the word of God if there was no written word of God? What we got down there? 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20? Y'all got that one? What y'all got? I got my other notes. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. Somebody read that.
Say it again, 1 Peter what?
3, 18 through 20.
For Christ also has suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, be put to death in the flesh, put in by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached in the Spirit in prison. For some time were disobedient, but once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, whereas you, that is eight souls were saved by the water.
So Jesus went and preached to those folks in prison or in hell, a special part of hell, the word of God. He preached it. And so that was to confirm what Noah and Enoch and Lamech and the offspring of Seth were preaching, and what Noah was preaching when he was building his when he was building the ark. Hello. And so that's the preaching. It wasn't a written word, but the word of God was being spoken and preached, and Noah was warning those folks. Matter of fact, he warned them for 120 years that that there was a judgment coming. So they ignored it. They ignored the word of God. And I can see that here today. The word of God is not too well respected or adhered to. I tell you what, let's go to another one. Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31. You know, a lot of people will read commentaries and things of that nature. Well, just like this book, Skip. I try to use it as a guide, but to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God is what we all need to do. Luke 16. 27. Anybody got that? Anybody feel like reading what they got? They got Luke 16.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.
Read on through 31.
For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them. See, they also come into this place of torment. Abraham and them to him. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went in unto them from the dead, they will repent.
And what did Moses say?
And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. So one
rose from the dead. All right, thank you. And that's the point. There's a lot of distractions, experiences with ghosts. The Roman Catholic Church brings up all of these special visions or things like that, and it distracts a person from the Word of God. I forget, they had this big what they call it, pilgrimage to these different locations. And that's to distract from the Word of God. Now, this fella that Sue told us about, read us about, that guy was telling Abraham, and that guy was in hell. And he was saying, look, Abraham, send Lazarus, raise him from the dead, and let him go back and tell him not to come into this place. And what did Abraham say? They got the Bible. They got Moses and the prophets at that time. They had all the Old Testament at that time when Jesus said this. And if they don't listen to that, they won't believe the one resurrected from the dead. And there's so much distraction from the Word of God, from studying the Word of God, from reading the Word of God. And look, you got versions of the Word of God today for bow-legged people. You know, they got all kind of different versions they come out with. So if you don't like the King James, or if you don't like the New King James or the NIV, they got buku of them that you can read, and there's one of them that God's going to get through to you with, and that you're going to understand. Now, I like the King James. I like studying the King James. I don't know a lot of the words in the King James. Matter of fact, I got a little book over there if you want a copy of it. It's 500 archaic words in the King James and their definitions to help you. It's right there on top. Here, let me get it.
I got more copies in the library. Right here. 500 archaic words defined. And I got some more copies.
Are they great?
Yes.
In the library?
The words, yeah. I know. I'm picking on you. No, it's right in there.
Oh, that.
I got some different. But I've got some more copies, and I'll get them. Yeah, but you know, if you can't handle the King James, if it the these and the thous and whatever, look, I was at a bookstore one day, and this lady was looking for a Bible for her kids that were going to Catholic school, and she says, "I can get any version of the Bible except the King James." That would make me want to read the King James just by that statement. So, well, if you read the dedication of the King James Bible, the authors or the interpreters, the translators were anti-popish, and they let you know it in that dedication.
I go to the Bible study that's a non-denominational women.
Uh-huh.
And I have a sister-in-law of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, or I said something about the King James. She said, "Oh, I have a King James." And I said, "Well, I don't think your King James is my King James."
Right.
Because they have the extra books.
You got what?
The extra books.
Yeah, the Apocrypha. Yeah. Right. And they're left out of the Protestant or the, yeah, the things. Yes, right. But, you know, read the Word of God. You know, I've got all these, a few folks, they like to say, "What do you think of this?" About the Word of God, or just devotional about the Word. Make up your own devotional. Read a passage of Scripture and write out your own devotional. They do it, and they sell millions of them, you know. What I'm trying to do is what I'm trying to say is get confidence in the Holy Spirit speaking to you personally in first person, not the second person or the third person or what some other person says. But when you're reading the Word, read the Word of God yourself and say, "God, speak to me. What's your will for me today?" Yes, ma'am.
A little bit off. I used to be Catholic.
Mm.
And after I became a Christian, the one passage in the Bible that really struck to me as a former Catholic was, "Call no man father but God who is in heaven." So I started asking some of my Catholic friends, you know, telling her about that verse. So why do you call your priest, you know, father? The Bible tells you not your spiritual father.
Right.
No, and most of them could come up with an answer. My uncle said, he went back to that verse about where talking to Peter upon this rock and dry church. Yeah, my sister-in-law. Yeah, and that's, you know, he was the first pope, you know, and that's why they have a pope. So when you come across a priest, what do you, how do you address him? Because, you know, we're not supposed to call him father.
Right. Well, I'll say brother, but then I'll ask him, "Are you born again?" I'll talk, you know, I've talked to priests like that. I say, "Hey, you know, brother, have you been saved? Have you been born again?" And that's not, I don't call him father or whatever. Padre, I guess that's another word for father, different language. But usually brother. I don't have. The last funeral we went to, I really lost my respect, priest. No, I don't call him father. I just say, "Sir." I'll say sir or mister or brother if he claims to be a Christian, a born-again believer. But no, you're right. There's no father but God, our Father in heaven. So, but read your Bible. Read it yourself. Make up your own commentary or devotion. Get in there and just have faith that God's going to tell you. If you don't understand something, just go with what you understand. And really, not understanding something in the Bible means that the Holy Spirit wants you to look at a little bit further into it, because he wants you to learn something. He's got something for you personally that you can use that day immediately, or it's an answer to a question that you've got about some family members or something that you're concerned about. Don't read about the Word of God. Read the Word of God and have faith that God's going to talk to you personally to give you an understanding that you need. I got all kind of books. I like C.S. Lewis. I like a lot of Oswald Chambers. I got his devotional. But those are just sidelines to just spending time reading the Word of God and letting God speak to me out of his Word personally. And if anything, there was a lack of it back in Noah's day, and I think there's a lack of having faith in the Word of God and what it says, like it's like with creation, with Noah's Ark. There was not that much belief in the Word of God that there was an ark. Now we know there's an ark. And science is proving over and over again the Word of God to an unbelieving world. And it's getting harder and harder for atheists. I was reading this, watching this article by Tucker Carlson interviewing this guy who wrote a book, Atheism is Dead. And he was a Christian. Well, he is a Christian. He was an atheist. And then he became a Christian in his dreams. But he wrote a book. It's the proof of the scriptures being exactly what they're saying is becoming overwhelming now, especially since science and DNA and all that other stuff is proving that we're created by a loving God. So, yeah, and just go ahead and, go ahead and read the Word of God yourself, which have strong faith in it. There's no exaggeration. God, Jesus Christ said there's not one jot or tittle will fail in the Word of God. And Jesus, right. If you think there's a contradiction, then dig a little deeper. God's giving you that doubt. That's the word I was looking for, doubt. When you doubt something in the scripture, that's God, the Holy Spirit, putting into you to research it deeper and get rid of your doubt. And that's a way that he works with us to get us to have more confidence in our relationship with God. Okay, let's look at the next one, the population explosion. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 11. Somebody got that?
The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with fire.
In verse 11.
6:11.
Yes, ma'am.
The earth was also corrupt before God.
Oh. I thought that was one. That's because I don't have my Bible in front of me.
Well, it does say 6:11.
Yeah.
Both of them. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born.
Right.
There's a thing going on in our world today across the ocean. And everybody's watching on TV. The women there that have girls first, sometimes they kill that baby first if they are born.
Are you talking about China?
And they're having problems now because there's so many males they can't find.
Yes.
I don't think there's too many women. Anybody, you know any women that want to go over there?
No.
Wow.
They could kill off your children.
Yeah.
I was watching this thing on Hungary, in Hungary, you know, they have migration that goes to Europe from the eastern countries, Middle East, whatever, Africa and all of that. And Hungary put up a wall. It took 2 months to put up a wall along their border, and their people coming in from across the border went from a lot to zero because of the wall. But also, the Hungarian government has encouraged women to have children. And if a woman has three children, they get $30,000. But to get this money, you got to be married. And so they're encouraging marriage, and also they're encouraging large families. And, of course, I guess they got Catholic, Roman Catholicism. But it's not just Roman Catholicism. I've been watching some Baptist church, English-speaking Baptist church in Budapest, and English-speaking non-denominational in Budapest. So English is spoken a lot there, and these are non-Catholic congregations. So, but that's unusual. You know, they're not like China doing away with the women, the girls. They're saying, look, y'all have as many kids as you want, and we'll encourage you by, but not like our country. Our country is encourage you not to get married. So, again, that's more violence. That produces more violence when you, and we can see it in our welfare state, in the cultures in our country that take advantage of this way of life without being married, no responsibility, that it produces violence. It produces anger, distrust, and so that's what this thing it produces. And you can see it in New Orleans. I work at the Welcome Center, and people come in and say, safe? I said, no. You know, I'm about ready to go buy some pepper sprays at Walmart and bring them over there. And, you know, just sell them, not at a profit, just sell them. Probably can't do it, probably illegal. But just let them know, you know, it's violent down there. And it's because of the culture that these kids don't know their daddy. They don't, you know, a lot of them don't know their mother.
They don't know discipline at all. They've never been taught because they don't have a parent structure to
exactly.
Show them right from wrong. If they do have a mother, she's working, trying to support the child.
Right.
Doesn't have time to raise the child.
Right.
No guidance at all.
Exactly.
They have guidance.
They take discipline out of the school. It's
taken that. It's gone.
Exactly. So that produces more violence. Then we have, that leads right into the next one, widespread violence. Movies, television, internet, games, they're all violence. Everything's settled by violence. This girl at work said, hey, John, why don't you get this movie, Nobody? And so I got it because it was at the library. I didn't have to pay for it. I wouldn't have paid for it. But it's just violence. This guy's, I guess, CIA agent or something, and the whole thing's about violence. And I said, I went and told her, I said, yeah, that's fantasy. That guy couldn't do that. He'd be dead. A lot sooner. That movie would have been about 5 minutes if it was for real. But that's it. It's popular. It's violence. It's something that is everything's solved by violence these days. It's not solved by love or kindness.
Well, it's depicted with deaths and things that it's just a game. And then when they see it in real life, it's just a game, you know. And they don't realize the consequences of what they're doing because of what they're seeing.
Good point. Exactly. It's And that's
and
the size.
They pop back up after their death, but they don't do that in real life. You know, there's consequences that you have to deal with taking life.
And people have no common sense anymore. I mean, common sense would tell you that this is wrong. What's the consequence? But they don't have common sense anymore.
They don't. Right. Common sense is uncommon. Yep. So, and again, I mean, if you, I'm thinking about the Vikings. When they conquered England, they were just violent people. They were just violent. It was their way of life. And for hundreds of years, they'd just come and invade England and take what they wanted. They'd go back to Denmark, or wherever they came from, wherever it was called back then. And it wasn't, if it wasn't for Christianity or the Word of God being in England, they finally were less violent, and they, because some of them were getting saved, and it was becoming more and more Christianity. And that happened also in, let's say, Eastern Europe, as we call it, Eastern Europe now. You had the Danube, and the nation of Rome was to the Danube, but once they started going across there and they were invading, well, Christianity went with them. And after a while, they started not being so violent. So one thing, I'm not saying, the Crusades were not violent-free, thank you. And the Crusaders did cause a lot of death and violence. This place would be a lot worse if it wasn't for Christianity. Okay, let's see, what else? Any other comments? Okay. Widespread words. Well, no, preoccupation with illicit sex activity. Genesis 4:19, that's where Cain's offspring had more than one wife. He's a polygamist. Porn, pornography is something that is very addicting and also it leads to suicide. What I've heard. That it leads to suicide, pornography. It's very depressing, very discouraging.
Leads to adultery.
Oh, yeah.
Premarital sex.
Right. The only thing I can say, I'm not recommending this movie, but I saw it. It's called Middleman. It's a true story about a guy who started porn on the Internet. And he made it so that you could pay for it without it looking, your wife finding it on your bill. And I'm not saying all of that to brag on it, but what the FBI got a hold of him and said, look, we're following your activity, your thing here, and it's helping us find a lot of terrorists in the Middle East because they're watching it. And we're watching how they're charging or paying for it, and it's giving us insight into where they're located. And so they're killing a lot of terrorists by following this activity. And an FBI agent says, "Get out of it now." they shut the whole thing down, but. For appreciation for killing a lot of terrorists, they said, look, we're shutting it down, so get out, you know. And so, but that's how widespread it is. And it's not, it's very depressing, it's suicidal. Right. Right. And it's not to say how it demeans women and men in that activity. Another one is organized satanic activity. New Orleans is known for that. Genesis 6, 1 through 4, which is interesting. This fella says, and I agree, that the sons of men, or is it the sons of God? Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Somebody got that?
When men became, began to multiply and invade the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters and the men, and they were fair, and took them wives, of all which they were chosen. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for it be also the flesh, yet his day shall be in 120 years.
Right. So right then, he gave the people. We did good. Right then, it was 120 years from that point to when the flood came. But there was an increase, and there's a lot of satanic activity. The sons of God were actually fallen angels that were possessed. Women, and they possessed men, and they had children, and they raised them that way. And so they were ungodly. They raised them ungodly. As a tour guide, I didn't like doing it, but I used to do the ghost tour. But I looked at it as it gave me a chance to witness. When I told him, I said, look, why are you messing around? You want to know about these spirits when you can know the Holy Spirit? You know, and some of the girls didn't like that too much. But I had my responsibility. And so, but I used to ask him, I said, have y'all had any spiritual activity out of the normal? And one night, these two girls said yes. And there was one girl that they bought a house in Virginia. Her and her family, and there was a spirit in there. It kept moving things around and things like that, so they got a medium to talk to the spirit. And the spirit said, yeah, I used to be in the woman that owned this house before. And so come to find out the woman committed suicide. And that's what these spirits will do. You'll end up committing suicide, or you'll destroy your life. And so that, how the Lord has another one that night, and that group said, yeah, I had the same thing in college in a dorm. I went into the dorm. Moved into the dorm, and we saw things moving in there, and we got a medium to talk to the spirit. And the spirit had possessed a girl in the dorm, and she ended up overdosing on drugs, the girl that this spirit was in. And so that's why you don't want to mess with these spirits. And I've heard it on movies that listen to Unshackled. That's a radio, Christian radio program. And it was sometimes they'll have about inviting spirits to come into you. And so a lot of demonic activity is going on. And it's going on today. You can see it, down in New Orleans, but because of television, because of mass communication, these spirits are very active. And they're, now, just to let you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to let an evil spirit enter into you. And so, you know, if you think you've got an evil spirit inside of you, you're not saved. It's one or the other. The Holy Spirit comes in, there ain't nothing going to come around him but the truth. And so, but don't be surprised if you come across it in your walk in life. And the main thing to do is start telling somebody about Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. Start witnessing to them.
I don't
well, we had a spirit of house that I lived in, and I ended up rebuking the name of Jesus Christ and left. But it was hazardous. And throw pool balls down from the upstairs, downstairs, and, you know, the kids are downstairs, scared them to death. You know, and finally, I ended up rebuking it in the name of Jesus Christ and left.
Amen.
That's what's right.
Pray over it. Pray it. Go in every room and say the name, rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray in the name of Jesus, and it's got to leave. It's got to leave. It's real. New Orleans is buku up.
It's everywhere. Take another guy. I used to be over the sheriff's office. My first task force was Satanism.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I woke up one morning, my ex-wife was screaming. It was dead chickens all over my home.
Hmm.
They all know where I lived in.
Years ago, I want to say that it was in the arena in Chalmette. It was some arena. Sherman and I went to hear the guy that used to be the head of the Satan in America. And he talked about the babies that were sacrificed and all of these things. It was just frightening.
Amen.
Right.
Who was mostly animals? We did come across several things that was in the blood.
Yeah, when I worked at the psych hospital, I worked in the children's unit, and I've never been cursed out worse than an 8-year-old girl. And as she was in there, her mother was a Satan worshiper. And when she was a little baby, they cut off the tip of her finger and used that blood for a ceremony. And the way she was raised, no wonder she was in that hospital. You know? Yeah, it's real. It's something that we can be aware of, and it's a minister, you know, and ministering to other people. So let's finish. I got one more. We'll close. It's the promulgation of systems and movements of abnormal depravity, and I think that's what this migration around the world is. They're taking depravity and they're moving it. That's why we've got all these people coming in from the Mexican border, from Canadian border, all going into Europe. It's the migration of the depraved systems. I looked up George Soros, and he has donated $32 billion to this type of movement. He is for an open society, and he's an anti-Christ, he's anti-Christian, he wants to destroy this country and its Christian Judeo roots, and he's an anti-believer, I mean he's Jewish, but he has donated $32 billion to this cause. George Soros. So,
he's Jewish,
does he believe in God? No, he's atheist. Well, a lot of Jews that are atheists. I would say, you know, a lot of Jews, what they've been through, because they were born Jews, you know, I said, well, where you at, God? I'm going through all this stuff. that's why they don't believe, it's because of what they've gone through. How can you, you know, I'm just saying what they might be thinking, so how can I believe in a God that supposedly selected the Jews, but we're always being tortured, we're always being killed or ostracized or kicked out of a country or something. So, but they don't know Jesus.
Yeah, well, I watched the program and it was Friday. The Jews that were shipped to a port in China, I don't know the name of the port, and what they experienced there the whole time, what was going on and so forth. I didn't realize that some of them were shipped over there. Of course, they were shipped wherever anybody was.
The Jews. Was that at the end of World War II?
No.
Oh, really?
They were all put on a list. And number, I don't know if that number had anything to do with it, but they were on a list to be removed from the country. Perfectly, I guess, shipped off.
My uncle actually helped save some of the Jewish people. His name was on hit list by Hitler because of him participating in trying to protect those people from being killed.
Where was this at?
In Germany.
Wow. Miss Lou, we're about ready to close on a word of prayer. I'm so glad you're here for that. Come here. Sit. Yes, ma'am. I want you to come sit next to me so we can pray.
If I don't, I won't be able to hear you at all.
Right. Any other time? This has been good. I enjoyed the comments. And so we can see that it's been going on for a while. If I was, I was born right after World War II, but, like our parents and all of that, they must have thought it was the end of the world coming with this, the world wars and stuff like that. But for the $32 billion of money that he's donated, I don't think he's getting his money for it. I think it's a bad, thank God it's a bad investment. Ms. Lou, it's a quarter after 10, and we're about ready to close in word of prayer and go to the worship center.
Oh. My car.
Let me see.
I got quarter after.
Yeah, you're quarter after.
Well, I didn't have this on. I had my clock in there. Uh-huh. I've been awake since before 7.
Where you been?
Studying.
Oh.
reading all in here.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time I get up, the minute I get up, I start studying.
Good.
I'm in my Bible or in this.
Amen.
I've been through all of your works.
All right. Amen. Yeah. I got some more, but I forgot them at the house. I'll bring them next week.
Okay.
All right. Have a word of prayer. And I'll get some of those copies if y'all want them, of that definitions. Okay. Father, I just pray. Thank you for this time and this discussion of your word and the goodness that you bring to this world, and most of all for the salvation that you've given us through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, what you've done for us, coming and dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead for us. Thank you so much for that. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand, we would know that the only hope for any person, no matter what they're wrapped up in, is salvation in you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for the testimonies we heard today, how that you're more powerful than any other spirit or activity on this earth. And we pray for the services to follow. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm glad you're